Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by Golding Accountancy. We are golding.com for your accountancy needs. How are you? I'm good. I'm recording this in the future, in the past. I don't know. I'm actually on holiday at the moment, so I've done this preempting me not being around. I hope you are good. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Marcus and Funk Butcher from How to Kill an Hour podcast. If you've not listened to it, then please listen to it because it's fantastic, even though I do say so myself. This week I've got two of my friends on, Lou and Claire, talking about the menopause. They are both, I wanted to get them on talking about it because obviously I'm a woman, so I'm gonna be going through the menopause, and it's one of those things that you know it's coming and you know that it's not good, but no one really talks about it. I think it's getting spoken about more. That Davina McCall did a program about it, which I actually still haven't watched, and I'm going to watch it. But it's, there's things we can do to help ourselves, and I wanted to get Claire and Louise on because they're both quite different people in their views on things, but they both feel very strongly about the fact that you need to take the drugs because, you know, they're there to help. I think HRT had a lot of bad press 20 years ago, and it wasn't actually true, but we don't know that it wasn't true. Like, I've always thought, oh no, HRT gives you breast cancer, and I don't know, I've obviously heard that, and then that's just what I've believed, but actually it's not true, but I don't know that it's not true, because they didn't make such a big deal about that. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this, I hope you get something out of it, and I'll see you in a bit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Work. I just want to know what I've got in store for me, really, and to talk on openly and honestly about, because people don't really talk about the menopause.
No, they don't. And I think that that is something that you only realise when you hit the menopause, that it's something that's going to happen to 51% of people in this country, and nobody knows sod all about it.
It's like when you have a miscarriage, though, isn't it? And then when you have the miscarriage, most of the people you know are then like, oh, yeah, I've had
well,
a miscarriage.
Well, I think you become very well educated quite quickly.
Yeah.
Because you make it your business. I didn't know any... it was one of those things that would was going to happen. I knew it would happen, but you don't... I never thought about it. And I think lots of women don't realise it's happening until... I wouldn't say they're quite far into it, because you're only menopausal when you haven't had a period for a year.
Yes, yeah.
So, up until then, you're perimenopausal, and you can start from maybe even late 30s, but most, I think, it's early 40s.
How long can you be perimenopausal for?
As long as it takes. You hit that point. I mean, you don't know you're actually menopausal, but once you've had a year without a period, that's when you're officially menopausal. And then after that, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I think as well, it's because people just don't talk about it. Like, I'm the youngest of seven and I've got six sisters.
Seriously? I never knew that.
Yeah, there's lots of us. We breed
Irish.
Irish Catholic. Yeah. So I'm the youngest of seven, six sisters, and there's quite a big gap. So there's 7 years even between me and my next sister, and none of us even spoke about the menopause. I can remember being told I was a menopause baby because my mum had me at 44, and in 1965 that would have been a late baby.
Are you the youngest?
Yeah. So, but I don't think anybody ever really spoke about it. And that's why I'm kind of on a bit of a thing. I tell everybody I'm in the menopause, even if they don't want to know.
No, I don't. Then you kind of cross over to becoming a menopause, then, don't you? Because you just sometimes I feel like it's all I talk about. But it's because it's a really big thing. It's a really big thing, and it just changes everything. I think you just don't. Years ago they used to call it the change, and I kind of really understand that now, because everything changes. Everything: your skin, your hair, the way you feel, the way you think. Your patients, particularly my patients, but it is, and I just think, like you say, nobody wants to talk about it, because I think there's also that admission of, that's the kind of thing that happens to other people, it's like when I'm grown up, when I'm older, and then all of a sudden, it's a gradual.
But it happens to every woman,
doesn't it?
It happens to everyone.
Regardless of your marital status, regardless of whether you've had children or not, does not matter. Everybody, it's one certainty. I mean, my sister, you were saying there's 5 years between my sister and I. My mum had a hysterectomy at 40. Now, she's been gone nearly 20 years, actually, in a few weeks' time. So I have no idea what...
Yeah.
Because I never had those kind of conversations with her about what she was... how it was for her, because...
Why did she have a hysterectomy?
I just think she had... We see then, when you have very... Part of when your periods change, they can get really, really heavy.
Yeah.
You have constant bleeding.
Yeah,
now, they'll just... They'll give you the coil... You can have an ablation, and then they kind of take away a lining of the womb.
Okay.
Which can, so that would be the next step. But they'd give you the coil, then they'd maybe give you an ablation. Then, after that, the final straw, like the last line in the defence, would be they'll give you a hysterectomy. But, however many years ago, 30 odd, maybe 35 years ago, they just gave you a hysterectomy to stop it. Because I think also the point was, if you're not having any more children, it's not.
But they don't like doing that now, do they? Or sterilising they don't like doing now.
I don't know.
I've just got to say, by the way, that I'm not a doctor or any kind of expert, so I'm going to be giving you all these opinions. You've got to go and look it up for yourself.
Everybody's individual.
But I mean, I would definitely say that if men went through the menopause, we bloody well all know about it.
Yes,
and
if men had periods, there'd be such better systems in place to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you have really, I've always suffered terribly with PMT and period pains and heavy periods, and like, people need time off work to do with yeah. that. Some, my mate, who sadly passed away, neither, she was in bed for a week every month with awful, she had fibroids, it turned out, in the end. But there's no accommodation for that, is there? I mean, there isn't even that much accommodation for when you have babies or kids, is there? So, you know, there's...
I mean, I would say one of the things about menopause care, it is going to dramatically vary for who you work for. So I've just retired. I work for the Met Police. And obviously, it's a massive organisation. And obviously, it employs a lot of women. So surprisingly, places like that where you would think they would be the least evolved around this are very good. So I can remember going into work one morning. And I'm a quite resolute type of person. I don't get that I'm not have low mood or anything like that. And I just started crying, and everyone's like, "What's wrong with you?" I thought, like, I haven't slept for days because, of course, I was having massive, massive hot sweats. You can get itchy skin. You get anxiety that you're not used to. Like, to have, obviously, the job I had was. Like a lot of safeguarding, and I just have things going around my head the whole time, and that had gone on and on and on for so long that I just got to a point where I was just like exhausted and I can't cope with this, and all the blokes just sort of like look at you and sort of shuffle away sideways like little crabs, like, but you know, my boss, he was a guy, but he was really good, and he said, right, look, don't come in at 7 o'clock for an early start. Come in at 9. And they were really accommodating.
That's
and
good.
Not saying every employer can be. But then the other thing, obviously I was a bit older and had been working for them for a long, long time. But the other thing is I got a referral to occupational health and actually came off night duty because I just couldn't function. Like, I was, you know, you're hormones are in such flux that there's no way I could be staying up all night. I could do so. Yeah. You know, they were accommodating, but I think maybe if you work for a smaller employer or, you know, people who are self-employed or whatever don't have just perhaps that level of support.
See, the other thing is, it's about what's open to you. So it might be depending on who you work for. But also what you can afford. See, GPs only get something like half a day's training. Right.
And
then it is up, I could be wrong, but I think it's up to them to, you know, whatever, if they want to take an interest or upskill or do, you know, educate themselves further.
Yeah.
So first thing people say is go and see a GP.
Yeah.
Well, I know loads of women that have tried to have that conversation with their GP and it's not gone very far. I ended up seeing... I went to see this GP who, I mean, I actually at the time didn't have a GP because it was the end of lockdown and we were moving and I had some But my friend had gone to see this lady who was a GP, but she specialised, she ran a menopause clinic.
I think that's the one you told me about.
No, that's actually because that lady that I told you about, she's a pharmacist, she runs a clinic around here, but this was sort of near... And she was really... if you were to see your GP, you'd get... And quite understandably, you can see that you're 5 to 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I was with her for over an hour and she was really thorough. Wow. She went through everything. I had to fill out a form beforehand about all my symptoms. I didn't have normal symptoms. I wasn't getting hot flushes. I wasn't having the itchy skin. I wasn't having restless leg or anything like that. But I was raging. Absolutely. Raging, and like to talk about, I mean, we all have anxiety and things that worry, but like I think you worded it really well when you sort of said it's anxiety, a level of anxiety you're not used to. And I was just I was like, I didn't know who I was. And so she was really good. She went through everything. I was with her for over an hour. I'd had blood tests, this, that. As it happened, she sent me for an ultrasound, something else that she just wanted to rule everything out. And that was brilliant. But obviously it did...
You had to pay for that.
I had to pay for that privilege.
Right.
Now, as it happens, she's then written to my new GP, and they've been brilliant. They've sent me for blood tests and they have taken over the prescriptions other than one thing. So I've been prescribed testosterone.
You can't get that on the NHS.
No. Well, you can, but if you find a doctor that is prepared to prescribe it off licence, because it's not licensed by NICE.
Yeah.
So it's not a massive... But, interestingly enough, a man can get testosterone... on a national health prescription, but not a woman.
I mean, I think, I mean, as I say, we're not doctors, but I know what Lou's talking about. So what they can give you is a testosterone gel.
I've been given that for my periods.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Lou just getting up to throw it in her bag to get it. So you can be given a testosterone gel.
Yeah, and that you take a pea size.
And you rub it.
Rub it on your leg. And that should last you 10 days, that little sachet.
And what does that do?
Well, apparently it's quite good for your sex drive.
Okay.
I think it's because...
Probably muscle as well, I should imagine. Or like, I've got no idea, but, you know, it's a male hormone.
Yeah. So do you get that prescribed or you don't get that prescribed?
I have to pay for that. I get prescribed.
Okay. And how much is that?
So that, you get quite a big box.
Yeah.
I've just finished my first box. I got that in September.
Wow.
I was eking it out a bit towards the end because I couldn't get an appointment with this lady for a while because of all the lockdowns and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's lasted me, you know, should last you 6 months. So, and it was about £70.
Oh, okay. That's
what I had to pay her for the consultation. Yeah. However, you know, but that's fine because I could. But there's loads of women that are being underrepresented because they can't afford it. And why should they pay for it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you go, I mean, I think as well, there's everyone's experience with going up to the. I mean, I just want to say, me and Lou have obviously both gone down the same route, which is straight away into HRT. So my period stopped dead when I was 50. I didn't have any kind of, you know, like some people have on-off periods and all that. I just got to 50 and they stopped. But obviously, I was having the physical symptoms of the hot sweats, restless legs and everything. So I went to my GP. My GP was brilliant. I just said to her, you know, I haven't had a period. You know, do I need blood tests and stuff? And I mean, obviously, what I'm saying is for individually for me and everyone is different.
Yeah.
You know, and she said, well, look, the things with blood tests, if you're telling me you haven't had a period, a blood test, one day your hormones could be higher or lower. Do you want to go on HRT? And I said, yes. So she put me on HRT patches. I said to her about, you know, the increase of breast cancer, which is, I think, what a lot of people listening are going to be worried about. And, of course, this came out, reported about 2002, I think it came out, but it's been completely debunked as being incorrect. Yes. The case studies that they looked at were much older women who would have had breast cancer anyway, because, you know, they're in their 70s and 80s. The trial wasn't finished. And, of course, it is something that massively affected menopause care for women, because millions of women just said, right, I'm not going to take it because I'm going to get... Yeah. They just came off it. And the other thing as well is lots of GPs who haven't educated themselves on the menopause are still referring back to this old report.
Yeah.
So she said to me, you've got more increased risk of getting breast cancer by drinking, which I do, and by being overweight, which I am. So I took my chances. I said to her about, I had a history of breast cancer with two of my sisters, and she said, but you have lots of sisters, so that's not disproportionate for the amount of people.
Yeah.
So she was quite happy to prescribe, and I was quite happy to take it.
So what is HRT?
So hormone replacement therapy, if Lou talks about her, I'll tell you about mine. So I have a patch, so that's called some posh name, into something or other. So I'm not taking it. It's not an oral one, and that's what the preferred method is. So that gives me estrogen and the other word that I can't say.
Progesterone.
Okay. Right. And so that is replacing what you're losing when you go into the menopause.
It's
the same amount for everyone. Now, Lou, when she talks about hers, will probably be different because she's obviously gone to a specialist private clinic where they would have tailored her prescription.
Right.
But mine is just generic.
Yeah.
And what they do is they give you a really low dose, you stick the patch on your bum, and then they say to you, you know, how do you feel? You can go on a higher dose. But what I found was that it got rid of all my symptoms, so my hot sweats stopped straight away, as did my itchy skin, as did being slightly mad. although some of the things that happen, which I'll talk about later, I've never got that back.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I'm an absolute advocate of take the HRT.
Yeah.
there is a lot of this kind of old-fashioned ideas of you've got to push through it, and
to be a martyr. I don't, if I've got a headache, I will drink a glass of water first, because generally my headache is telling me something about that I'm tired or I'm dehydrated or whatever. However, after that, I'll take a paracetamol because you don't need to suffer.
Yeah.
And it's the same with this. I have had women say to me, oh, you don't need all that. You'll manage. You're fit. You're this, you're that. It's not about that.
No.
I think it really does women a disservice.
It does.
You need this.
You do.
If you had... I'm trying to think of a really good example. But if you were low on iron, you'd take an iron supplement.
Yeah.
This is exactly the same. Sorry, I've got...
Because it frustrates me.
Yeah.
And the other thing as well that you hear a lot from people, and do forgive me if, you know, people listen to your podcast feel differently, is people say, oh, I want to go down the natural route. You know, I'm going to take a tincture that was made by a Tibetan monk at the bottom of a... The difficulty that my difficulty with that is that when you lose, when you go into the menopause and you lose those hormones from your body, the things that they are preventing you from getting are things like, or helping you preventing you from getting, are things like heart attack, things like getting dementia. All of those things are estrogen is doing for you. So yes, you can take black cohosh or whatever it's called from Hallott and Barrett, and it might stop you having night sweats, and it might stop your restless leg, but it's certainly, as far as I'm aware, forgive me if I'm wrong people, but it's not replacing the hormones that is going to prevent preventing you from other things. It's not preventing you from osteoporosis. It's not preventing you from, you know, dementia and the other things that they have found that taking HRT.
Why did your body stop making it feel so important?
Because basically it's decided you're not going to have any more children, so you might as well shrivel up and die bit by bit.
It's nature's last little laugh on you after having periods all those years and your roller coaster. It comes with that, and you have served your purpose to humanity because you've reproduced, or you haven't, but you've, you know, that period of your life is over. And now we're going to take all of the good stuff and take it away from you. And so everyone really does think you're not crazy.
And I mean, the other thing, of course, is that now it's becoming more and more important because we're living longer.
Yeah.
So, you know, years ago, you might have, you know, been in menopause about 10 years and you'd died anyway. But now we're going on, so the quality of your life is so important. I mean... Yeah. The other things that, I mean, you can get a million and one symptoms, but vaginal atrophy, where basically your fanny's just going to dry up and die.
I think Davina McCall is talking about the dryness, wasn't she?
I didn't have that, but, you know, people
just in case anybody wants to know, didn't suffer from that. But, you know, there's some of it's really deeply, I mean, you think some unpleasant of the stories that some poor women go through. I mean, listen, if you can manage without and you don't want to take, great, good luck to you. But don't be a hero.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be a hero. Plus, the other thing, sorry.
No, because...
is that because it can give you a low mood, right?
Yeah.
I felt right at the beginning when I didn't really realise what was happening in my late 40s, I just felt so miserable because I couldn't trust myself and the things that I could do every day, stuff that I, you know, the plates that you spin and the balls that you juggle that you just do, all of a sudden I was dropping them all and I couldn't, and I was forgetting things and more than usual, you know, not that you walk into a room, you can't remember why you're there, but, and it just makes you miserable because you don't really know what's going on and your moods and your temper is fluctuating a lot. Well, I couldn't tell you the percentage, but lots of women, they don't know what's going on, and that they do link certain suicides to the menopause.
Really? And breakup of marriages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a massive sort of age range where people have been married for quite a long time, sort of like late 40s, and people say, oh, it's because, you know, it's because your children have grown up and you've decided, oh, this is a whole new me. But they're now saying, no, it's probably because you're menopausal and want to murder everybody.
So, you know, it really does, affect so many things.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to a podcast quite a long time ago where it was there was a woman who's on television, and she was talking about her grandmother committed suicide, and she was a perfectly happy. There was no, I mean, not that you ever really know what's going on in her head, but and she could never know. She couldn't save it 100%. But she's going through the menopause herself now.
Yeah,
that she can understand so many things, and she's convinced that that was the reason why.
It's awful, isn't it?
I mean, it's speculation. But yeah. There is, if you look online, there is lots to do, you know.
But you know, like, did you suffer from PMT?
No, never.
Did you?
Yes. So but I still get that.
I do. But I've, like, how crap I used to feel, I suppose if that's, like, really intensified, then I could understand.
I mean, for like I said, it was the rage.
Yeah,
I was just this very angry woman, far more than I should have been. Yeah. You know, and almost, you know, I don't know if you ever have a scream and a shout sometimes, and it's almost like you're watching yourself.
Yeah.
But it was like, you just think, well, who is this person? I was just wanted to shout all the time, in the car, at the kids, everything, you know, and it's miserable.
Mm. Yeah.
It's actually miserable.
Yeah.
So,
I think as well, the kind of catalogue of things that can happen in the menopause that people can't kind of link, you can't think, oh, that's what that is. But I know that lots of women in their 40s who might have, say, like, you've got a really high powered job, but part of your job is that you have to get up and give presentations or something like that. All of a sudden they're like, I can't do it. I cannot get up in front of all those people. And so rather than sort of link it to the menopause or say, look, this is what it is, they just give up their jobs. They just resign because they're not thinking, oh, it's the menopause. They're just thinking, oh, I can't do what I used to do. I can remember driving, this is my boring, weird story. I can remember driving back from a wedding. Now, I've driven on motorways for years, right? And all of a sudden, I thought to myself, I can't drive on the motorway. I'm going to have a panic attack. I've never had a panic attack.
Really?
I just could not. And I thought, I'm going to pull into the hard shoulder. I didn't know really what to do, and I pulled off into services and I had to ring someone from work to come and get me. Like, they had to come out, two people in one car, one to take my car back and one to get me, and I've never been on a motorway since.
Really?
And that was, I've been on them
but not driving,
but now I'm so bad that, like, I spend 90% of the journey with my eyes closed.
See, that's really interesting.
What, sitting in the car?
Yeah, and I'm going, you're too crushed. Now, I've never been a nervous passenger.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been in police cars going a million miles an hour everywhere, and it would never bother me. But something about that, and that was all linked to it. Just,
see, I'm like that on a plane.
Oh, my God.
And I have flown everywhere.
Yeah.
I've been, and my children laugh at me because Jason and my youngest daughter, like, love a bit of turbulence. They, you know, it's like being on a roller coaster. And I am white knuckled. Now, and even on a short flight, I could see a time, if it doesn't change, that I won't get on the plane.
Really?
Yeah. And it's never been, the last few years, it's just been.
And they can't do anything to stop that. Is there anything you can take to stop that?
Well, it's just stuff that I can't, you know, it might be linked, it might not be linked.
Mine's definitely linked, I know it is.
And it's just, all I can think about is the catastrophizing of what could go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And the few times that I've been away without my family, I've sat on there as the plane's taken off, and I just thought, what am I doing? The plane crashes. And your mind is working with it all. But this is why loads of women say they have low mood and they end up at the GP, and then they leave the GPs with antidepressants.
Yeah.
And that, you know, which really doesn't.
I was given antidepressants for my PMT because I went to I kept going to the doctor because they all they can do is give you the pill, and I couldn't take the pill. So she gave me antidepressants.
Are there some things in antidepressants, though, that are linked to maybe being able to help? I don't know.
Well, anything, I suppose, that raises your serotonin can't be a bad thing. But you could take 5-HTP or something like that, which is like a natural.
And it all depends. It's such, they've got to get the dosage right, haven't you? And you've got to be on for quite a long time before you notice the difference. And it's the side effects, isn't it, I guess?
Mm. It is I'm laughing about you because that's what I do. I've never done this until I became older, and I catastrophise everything. Really? If somebody isn't home when they've said they're going to be home, they've died. That, I mean, obviously, nothing else could have possibly happened. Like the bus couldn't be late, anything like that. Oh my God, they've died. Or, you know, and this scenario just gets bigger and bigger in my brain.
Wow. Which is why no one can ever call you late at night now. No. The minute the phone goes after 9 o'clock, what's wrong?
Who's dead? But, you know, people might think that's... But when you've never been like that, yes. When you're like a really steady state mood and when you are very pragmatic about things and you're not like that, I mean, there are many people who...
I am shocked by you saying this because I've never have guessed that about you. You're not... You don't strike me as that kind of person at all.
Well, I wasn't until, no. until I was robbed.
Do you think, though, that, see, for me, once I worked out and I realised what was going on, and you educate yourself a bit, then it kind of, it's not okay, but you know what's going on. It's like you could put a label on something.
Yeah.
So I think, you know... Probably it sounds you're sitting there thinking I'm horrified by this. And I don't want any of this to happen to me. But I think if you go into it relatively educated and you educate yourself, it's not so terrible because you know what's going on.
Yeah.
And you can do something about it, or you can make some, you know, some healthy choices about things to help your journey.
I think as well that there's been so much about it recently. Davina McCall's done this program, which was really good, and then loads of people. Meg Matthews she's a massive advocate, isn't she? And loads of people who are talking about it now. I'm really hoping that people like when Amy and younger people go into it, they will have far more of an idea than we did that actually it's the menopause, and better equipped, and to go to your doctor and say, no, I don't think I'm depressed, I don't think I'm this, I think I need HRT. I mean, they reckon some huge percentage, and I don't know the percentage, but some huge percentage of people who, women, not people, under the NICE guidelines, who should be getting prescribed HRT are not getting it. It's something like 1 in 10 women are taking HRT who qualify, who are in that age gap and whose criteria.
Why are they not? Is that because they're not asking for it or they're just not feeling it?
I don't know.
See, how many of your friends are taking HRT?
Well, and not as many as I would like because they're all doing this weird, you know, I'm going to get through it. But so many myths about HRT have been kind of busted. So people said, well, you can only be on it for 5 to 10 years. You've got to come off it anyway. No, you don't. You can be on it ad infinitum because, as we said, it's protecting your bone density. It's protecting, you know, your brain, your blood pressure, you know, sort of heart and everything. So you can be on it now long term. You don't have to come off it. And it's doing all that preventative stuff. So, you know...
I just assumed that most women were on it.
Yeah, me
too. So most of my friends, other than one, who just doesn't seem to be, you know, she doesn't feel the need, she's not suffering through anything, so fair enough. But most of them are taking something. But another friend said she is the only one, and virtually all of her friends are trying to do it naturally.
Why?
But then, you know, it's... You could move the conversation. It's like people that, you know, don't want to take the vaccine, for instance, because they don't know it's been tested, but then they're taking all manner of other things every weekend, which is clearly not regulated either. So it's just how you view things.
See, I've always thought that HRT was bad because I've heard that it's bad. Not that I just know that that's what I think. But why do I think that?
You probably think that because it all,
it was massive.
It was 2002 or something, and it was this massive thing. Like, basically, if you take it, you're going to get breast cancer. And I don't think we've ever recovered from that. And I don't think that perhaps older GPs, perhaps, who, I'm not sort of putting it all down to them, but, you know, who aren't as up to date on stuff are still perpetrating that kind of thing. I mean, I went during lockdown. I had pain in my breast And my GP are always great. I did a little online thing for them and they sent me straight down to Whips to have a mammogram. So I had a mammogram and then I went in to see, like, obviously the breast specialist. Yeah. He's a lovely guy, examined me, nothing to worry about, explained what was going on, which was nothing major at all. And then he said to me something really odd. Like, he said to me, well, you're... We're talking about HRT, I think. And he said, well, you're a very bright, articulate woman. I'm sure. And what he was trying to say was, why was I on that? And why wasn't I taking, you know, black sage or something? I don't know. I was like, because it's a, why wouldn't you? You know, as I say, a really old-fashioned idea of trying to power through it.
Well, it's, don't get me wrong, I defer to doctors at all times because they've trained, they've got medical training,
yeah.
I don't. But then you have, sometimes you have someone telling you that they have the medical knowledge, but you've been living with something and that experience is in some ways just as important. It's anecdotal to you, but that's what you're bringing to the table. They don't know how you're feeling.
Mm.
And so it is quite reckless, but it's very unsympathetic to tell you that, you know, it's okay to do it like this, but really you should be doing it like that.
What did you, what, I'm interested in what, tell me about your drugs, Lou.
Sorry. Hit me up with your drugs. Because
now I'm like, so, I might have to pay and get extra special ones.
Estragel, which is a pump. And that,
is that rubbed or?
Rubbed, yeah. Yeah. Or taken through the skin, which they prefer because it doesn't go across your liver. I started off on one pump on one arm alternately, but now I have two pumps, one on each arm, every day.
Yeah.
I have a pea size of the testosterone gel on my lower leg.
Why do you have that on your lower leg?
So you don't get a willy.
her arm's worn out with the other gels.
Everywhere it's taken.
Yeah.
And these tablets, these Utrogestan, are tablets that I take on the 20th of each month to the end of the month.
So right.
I basically take them, I start on the 20th, I take two tablets, and that supposedly should regulate my periods. So I don't really know, because that they're all over the show.
But you're still having periods?
Yeah, well, of a kind. I mean, I think they're trying to stop.
Right.
But, I can sort of, you know, it's very, very changeable.
Yeah.
So I never really know what's coming now. I mean, I would quite like to, because actually I still have this mentality that, you know, I feel a bit uptight and I have periods and everything.
Yeah.
You know, all is good in the world again. But that, yeah, that's really changing. But I do notice it sometimes. See, I tend to do all this after I've got out the shower. Well, I might go to the gym first and then shower after. So, you know, you've got into a routine. But sometimes I do forget, and I will find that, because it all sits on my bedside table, so I don't forget.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get distracted. The phone goes, doorbell goes, this sort of shouting, or whatever it is, you're in a rush. Sometimes I get into bed and I look at them and I think, oh, that's why I've been a bit grumpy. So, I don't know, it might be psychological, you know, I'm not saying that they're... I mean, it's definitely doing something.
Yeah.
That might be that this is the day that I've forgotten it. I just was a moody cow. Really. But... so that's what I do. So it's a bit of a, well, it's just a routine that I'm into now. So it's quite, you know, it's all, I'm a bit jelly, a bit greasy for 5 minutes in the morning or the evening or whenever.
I've got HRT drug envy now, and now I'm going to have to, like, well, go, I want all the tests.
Well, I do know a lovely lady around here who is a pharmacist. She's called, I think, the hormone pharmacist. Hello, Lindsay, if you're listening. And I think that she can do all of this or tell you exactly what you want and then send you off to your GP and ask for...
I mean, there are really, you know, rather than just listening to us wittering on anecdotally, there are some really good people on the internet. There's the menopause doctor. There's
Dr. Shahadi.
Yeah, now
she's
lovely.
Yeah, she does a lot of stuff. And Meg Matthews also makes menopause.
Yeah.
And also the is it Lorraine Candy?
Yeah,
postcards
from midlife.
They talk a lot about perimenopause and menopause. And generally it's quite, you know, it's quite informative, certainly if you don't know anything about it at all. So I think it's really important to do a bit of research.
I think, because especially if you're going to go to your doctor, it, you're armed with information. So yeah. if they start, I mean, you know, there, I'm sure there are going to be exceptions to everything we've said. I'm sure that there are some women, because of their, you know, issues they've had with in their family, breast cancer or whatever, that there are going to be people who are not going to be yeah. suitable for. There's always going to be exceptions. But I do think if you go along and at least you're armed with some information, yeah. You've got a bit of a fighting chance.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I don't know about now, but I have heard really miserable stories of yeah. women being fobbed off.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're asking something, they're asking for help.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
you know, if you were going with a broken leg or, God forbid, a lump in your breast or yeah. something, you know, you're asking for help, so yeah. you need it.
Well, they were saying on one of the podcasts, you know, there's loads of other things that control hormones, your thyroid, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't say, oh, yeah, well, no, like, do without thyroxine, would they, or whatever, you know, just power through that. No, yeah. you know, that you'd take the drugs. And as I say, obviously, it's a very individual thing, and there may be people who
yeah, are but it's not, completely some people can't anti. Take ibuprofen. There's loads yeah, there's, of things yeah. that, you know, it's very much needs to be prescribed by a doctor or by yeah. a healthcare professional. Without a shadow of a doubt, but I think that there's a lot of women that could be taking it that aren't, and they're just probably, if they're not having any symptoms, great.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably a lot of women suffering in silence, and why would you put yourself through that?
Oh God, if I could take a pill back when with all my period yeah, stuff yeah. and that made everything fine, I'd take it like, every yeah. day. Like, yeah, why would you yeah. want to put yourself through?
Yeah,
anything yeah. that you don't have to.
And I think as well there tends to be a downplaying of women's symptoms about stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm very, very...
women do that yeah, as well. I think, yeah, probably you know, right. women, because we're all quite, we, you know, tend oh, to be quite stoic about things. Yeah, it's okay, you'll put up with things. Yeah. You don't have to, don't like to complain. People yeah. don't like to talk about this kind of thing. And that's fine, you don't have to talk about it. But you can talk about it to your doctor. And they should be listening to you.
Mm. It's funny because obviously we all know each other because we go to the same gym. And people often will say to me, because they're all skinny and I'm not, about, you know, about, oh, you've been going to the gym a long time. They sort of look at you, your menopausal tummy. And I always say, look, I didn't join to lose weight. I joined so that if I fall over, I can get up yeah. off the floor and yeah. try and get some bone density, yeah. you know, because of osteoporosis. Because basically, I'm in the menopause and bits of me are falling off bit by bit as I have less and less hormones in my body. And a lot of the young blokes look at you and they don't really want to know that information. But
I think we should talk about things because men should be aware yeah, because yeah. that's better for them. So if yeah. their partner does start going a bit mental, you know, later yeah. on, at least they'll have an idea what's going on.
It does yeah. send you a bit, you know, just a bit crazy yeah, at times. Yeah. It really I
definitely can do, as I say. I mean, there are, on a positive note, I will tell you a couple of very tiny TMI, by the way, TMI bits about the menopause that are good.
Yeah.
So that is, you don't have periods, obviously,
yeah.
and you don't smell. And these are all things that people don't talk about because it's a bit weird.
Well, of course, it doesn't smell.
You don't.
Your pits, you don't get the eye. Or your nun.
And your nun. Because you haven't got hormones, haven't you got loads of hormones, which, you know, why do you think you get smelly teenagers?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
because
yeah,
they have
yeah,
a
yeah.
hormone surge. Yeah. So, I mean, things like, as I say, nobody wants to know this about me, but, you know, before you'd be always like, oh, you know, but yeah. you just stop being smelly because wow. you don't have hormones. So it's a really weird thing.
Yeah.
Well, it makes perfect sense, yeah, actually. Yeah, yeah. It does.
So you don't get smelly armpits, you don't get smelly Fangitas. Nothing smelly.
What else? Is there anything else? Or is that the only thing?
You can just see the headline now. Fangitas.
I'm sure someone's going to say, well, mine still was.
And that game would be too, isn't it?
Well, I was trying to put a positive spin for people. I mean, there's so many. I was trying to think, no, there's not really. I mean, we haven't touched on a million and one things that are awful. You can get hormonal acne. So you might be 50 and have never, ever had bad skin.
I have had a few spots. And I don't really, yeah.
Yeah, you can get full-scale acne.
Yeah.
As a side effect. because it's all hormone related and you don't have them anymore. So lots of people have that. So all of a sudden you're 50 and you've got a face full of spots and you've never had spots before,
And there are stories of women sort of thinking that they're entering their menopause and they actually end up pregnant.
Oh, that's what happened to my mum, yeah.
It's
I can't imagine
your fertility having one last birth. Yeah, you don't need to worry about that.
So that does happen quite a bit. So if you are sort of not using regular
contraception,
that's fairly reliable. Well, of course, my mum was Catholic. I don't suppose she was using anything apart from a rosary bead. But you can end up with a menopause baby.
Oh, sod that. So, do you feel all right now? I mean, I know apart from the driving thing.
I mean, I feel loads and loads better than
How long did you suffer for before you got help?
I don't think it was that long because I'm all about give me the drugs. I wasn't doing any of that going to Holland and Barrett business. I think the main thing is I didn't realise I was perimenopausal.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So the driving thing, that was definitely perimenopause. Yeah. That was before my period stopped. But as I say, I didn't do what Lou's doing. Obviously, Lou's still having periods. Mine just went boom, stopped the end. And then I got HRT.
Yeah.
I mean, things like I will notice, for instance, that I might have low mood and then I'll think, oh, I haven't changed my patch or something, you know.
Mm.
And there was a shortage of HRT patches as well, just something to do with suppliers. So then I was eking them out. You're supposed to, I think, you're supposed to have like 2 in 7 days.
Mm.
And I was like trying to keep one on for about 10 days. And I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure this is working. Yeah. But, you know, on the whole, we just sound like we're sort of some advocates for Big Pharma, aren't we? Like trying to make everyone go on drugs.
I would hate for people to think that we're trying to convince everyone that this is the way to go. But you know what? It's worked for me. I can only speak for me.
But it's replacing.
It's clearly worked for Claire.
What you're losing.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So it makes sense. That's what you need to make it better.
You're not taking anything that your body's not already making.
Exactly.
It's just not making as much as
it should have done.
Yeah.
And it's all sort of very natural these days. It's not, it's all made from, I mean, they call them yams, but I wouldn't mean yams are sweet potatoes, aren't they?
I mean, that's another thing. I mean, please forgive me, everybody, because I'm going to make like a massive faux pas now. But, you know, people who are vegan and stuff, people say, oh, it's made from horse urine. Well, it might have been made from horse urine a million years ago, but now it's all plant-based.
Okay.
So, you know, people always had that kind of idea.
Because there's two types. There's
body identical and bio-identical.
Is it body identical? So
we have body identical.
Body identical.
Yeah.
So it's just mimicking what your body already is making.
Yeah.
The bio-identical ones, if you go to, I mean, I did go and see a doctor privately.
Yeah.
And then there are clinics that will try and sell you, but apparently they are sort of custom made for you to da-da-da.
Right.
I mean, none of that is licensed. None of that is tested.
No.
You wouldn't, you know, ignore all of that.
Okay. Well, that's what everybody, I mean, this isn't just us saying that. That's everybody. Like, there's a guy on the other day, and he's like the head of gynecology and obstetrician and everything. Like, he's a head honcho dude. And he is massively into education around, for medical professionals around the menopause. And, like, he's like, don't touch that with a barge pole. So, not that we're experts, but body identical is what you get when you get HRT patch, and it's what Lou's getting with her estrogel and all the rest of it. And as I say, I hope I've got that right, that it used to be made with weird stuff and now it's made with plants.
Yeah, but I think that was a long time ago. But you're just replacing what you're losing.
So do you feel better now?
Yeah, I do. When I still have, but you know, there's life. You know, we've been really,
How are you?
You
with
have your ups and your downs.
Hormonal, because you've got hormonal girls in the house, haven't you?
Yeah,
so how's that been?
So much fun, really. We all tick along nicely. Never a crossword.
You should all be having your periods at the same time.
Well,
we'll be in sync like a commune.
We have twinned a few times. Oh. But she's really, you know, my eldest. She's not going to thank me for talking about this because she's the only person that's had a period ever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But yeah, obviously she's at the start. But yeah, two girls. One is very hormonal. The other one's working her way up to it. Mm. And that's now why we have two dogs. And Jason disappears a lot, really.
Because he's pretended he's going down the path.
Yeah, he's learned to, you know, to be fair, he's quite good, you know, because he's had to be educated too.
Yeah.
Because I've done a lot of, you know, I've read an article and I've left it out. And, you know, I've done a lot of, you don't understand what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And he's just has to understand. So he's, you know, he's relatively supportive, you know, he tries to be understanding.
Do they do anything about the menopause in sex education?
They're bringing it in, I think.
Because it's actually, but again, it's like we talk to, you know, our young men and women about, you know, sex education and puberty and, you know, and certainly my eldest has come home and said things like, well, what do you expect? I'm going through puberty. It does make me want to internally roll my eyes at times because that's not an excuse for everything. But it's good that they're educated and it would be really good to educate our young people about what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to take them throughout their lives as well. So it's not, you know, this whispered conversation, because I did quite about 5 years ago, I found myself at a birthday party and making a joke about the menopause, but lowering my voice as I said the word menopause. And I was like, who are you? Why have you just done that? You know, I was with women.
Yeah.
And I annoyed myself for doing that, because you're not supposed to talk about these
things.
But you don't have to ram it down people's throats, but it's part of life.
Yeah. People are really uncomfortable.
Men talk about the prostrates, don't they?
Jesus. I went into a meeting, right, and I'd rushed to get there, and there was all these important people and everything, and I just started having this massive hot sweat. Now, if you've ever had a hot sweat, you just like sort of, it's not like being hot, I can't explain it. It's like somebody's turned a switch on, and you just sort of like, imagine when you're in a club and like all your hair goes wet and everything.
Yeah.
It's like that, but without any of the alcohol or other things that might help you along, right? So, and I was just like dripping onto my to-do list, because that's another thing, of course, you can't remember anything, so you've got to have a to-do list. And I was like, so I'm very menopausal, and all these men were like, just...
Like a sharp intake of breath.
Didn't want to look at me or anything. And, you know, you'd always get somebody sensible who just says, oh, do you want to go outside for 5 minutes? But on the whole, people all like, don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But you're just like, drip onto the bit of paper. But
my sister's got a little fan. She's got a fan.
Yeah.
But she's really suffering with the hot sweats. Yeah. We're quite hot anyway.
Well, if you go on HRT, it did with mine. They went overnight.
I need to talk to her about that, actually, because her periods haven't started. I think she went 11 months and then she got a period.
Mm-hmm. I didn't go a year. I think I reckon I went 6 months and she was quite happy to give me HRT.
Okay.
I think a lot of it will depend on, like, my doctor is A, female, and B, relatively young.
Yeah.
So she's got the combination of, she's probably not, I mean, she's a GP, she'd been out of medical school a long time, but, you know, she would have probably been post that 2002 breast cancer report.
Yeah.
She probably got more new information, and then I was like, yeah, you're fine, go on it, you know, sort of thing.
But they do say that, I mean, I was had a conversation with one of our trainers two or three years ago when I was having a weigh-in, and we were talking about, you know, I was sort of saying, I don't really, everything's sort of changing a bit, you know, I can't, not that I've been particularly careful about it. You know, I can't eat what I want, and like, well, who can? But, and he said, oh, you might find that because you know you're fit and strong, that you might sail through it all. And I kind of got it in my head. I was like, oh, he said it's all right, it's gonna be okay. And then so it came as even more. So what I'm trying to say is, it actually doesn't really matter. I mean, there's things you can do to help yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're fit or you're not fit. It's not really going to, your symptoms are your symptoms.
Yeah.
And they are unique to you, and they're individual to you. So you can put yourself in a good place to be as healthy as you possibly can be, but it doesn't really, I mean, I know loads of people that can just carry on drinking. I just can't tolerate alcohol particularly.
Yeah,
I still do drink occasionally, But I'm always, always sorry the next day because a very small amount of alcohol just doesn't. I mean, I don't know if that's just an age thing.
I think that is a menopause thing. I think metabolising alcohol is a menopause. I mean, obviously, it hasn't stopped me. I'll still tank it down. But
You can obviously cope with it the next day. And I just can't. I really feel hideous. It's not even a case of, I've had, a vodka and tonic too much. Not a lot of alcohol, and I'm not in a good way the next day.
I was going to say, I was trying to put some positive spins, but then I just thought of something else. we were talking about, what's the polite way of putting it? Not being able to hold your urine when you jump about a lot something heavy, your pelvic floor.
Does the menopause affect that then?
Yes, massively, because unfortunately...
I was very pleased during lockdown that when we were doing a lot of... jumping jacks and things that...
Skipping,
jump, all lifting a heavy weight.
It's when I have to open my legs and jump. If my legs are together, I'm alright.
Please,
cut this bit out. We've done the episode. It's the week before I'm due on, and that's because because I'm filled up with blood, your blood gets smaller. And I was like, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Like, no one's ever explained that to me before. And I'm like, why do I not know this?
Well,
it's only since having kids. But yeah, it's like that week before, I can't open my legs and jump.
So,
trampolines have been out for me for a long time.
All your... If anyone's a midwife, and this is wrong, but I did get this from a midwife, so I probably phrased it incorrectly. All your hormones and everything are all part of what makes all your pelvic... I'm doing hand movements for this. Makes all your pelvic floor and everything, kind of stay up and everything.
Yeah.
And that all goes. And so the reason I found this out is because my sister has never had a vaginal delivery of a baby. She adopted a baby.
Yeah.
And then when she went, she said, why am I like pissing myself when I'm doing things? I've never had a baby. Like, I've never had anything come out of my vagina. Why isn't it all staying in? And then we asked them the midwife lady, not the midwife, but and she said, oh, it's because your lack of estrogen, and that all holds your pelvic girdle. So,
it makes the lining thinner.
Yeah. Oh, God. As I say, if you were a horse, that put you down. That'd be, cart them off, take them away.
It's true, though, isn't it? Really? But, I suppose the good thing is there is light at the end of the tunnel with the drugs.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what drugs you were talking about.
But really, I know people that would say, HRT has changed my life.
Yeah.
And it certainly made my life easier and, happier than it was.
Yeah.
Because, I felt particularly miserable and anxious. And that is sort of, it's an ever-decreasing circle because, the more anxious you get, the more miserable you get about things, your world becomes a bit smaller. Now, sorry for getting too much, I'm really looking forward to not having periods.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. I wish they'd just stop.
Yeah.
Because I don't really, the GP said to me, sometimes, having a foot in each camp is more difficult than...
Because you don't know where you are, do you?
Yeah,
I'm
done.
And that's a bit shit if you're getting both, because bleeding's shit, isn't it? And then if you're getting the menopause symptoms as well.
And that's the thing, apparently, sort of my body's ready to stop, but my hormones haven't quite cottoned on to... caught up with it.
And I mean, the other thing as well, although we've all been doom and gloom ish, is that we have to remember, in some countries around the world you can't even get HRT. They don't even kind of believe in it as a thing. And obviously within some cultures, in the UK, it's just not spoken about, and so there's swathes of women who aren't getting the help or support that they need, because it's just not something that is ever discussed. And I know there's a lot of doctors who are trying to do a lot of work around that and make it more inclusive for people, so that they can have the conversation and get help.
Yeah, well, it must be hideous to have it denied.
Yeah, absolutely. So we think we've got it bad. At least we can go to the doctor and say, look, I think I've got X, Y, and S, and I need that. And we can articulate it and know it exists. Whereas you could be living, in a for whatever reason, a cultural word that isn't discussed at all, and so nobody knows anything about it. So
it's quite interesting. You can look up online. There's supposedly something like 42 symptoms or 42, and there is a list. There's loads of lists online.
Yeah.
Or if you go on to any of the podcasts or the Instagram accounts that I've just mentioned, and they will give you a list of possible symptoms, menopausal symptoms. That you can, I mean, there's lots of them are just very, you know, everyday things. But, you know, if that, I think they say if you can tick more than 20 or something, then, you know, chances are you are. And you arm yourself with that.
Lou, are you feeling a little bit murdery? yes, I am feeling a little bit murdery. Tick that symptom.
That's quite a normal thing for me. Definitely on the North Circular.
Are you pissing yourself? Yes, that's a tick.
Do we have to hide the kitchen knives? Yes, definitely.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That was very informative.
Well, as I say,
we haven't scared you, have
yeah,
we?
And no, go and check out the proper resources, not just us two wittering on.
But it's nice to hear people's actual real experiences. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because you both do talk about it. Mm. And I think that's important for people to hear, just open and honest conversation rather
and
than,
educate yourself about it. That's what I'd say. Really. Whether you go down the HRT route or you go down the, you know,
whichever route,
just make sure you know
you need
it
to be able to know that some of the stuff you're feeling isn't you going mad.
Yes,
you're not an unreasonable person, and that bastard on the road that's just cut you up is really just the bastard.
The A406 but, is the worst ride in the country.
Just read about it. Whatever it is that you decide to do, it's fine, but just knowing about it really
will help.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Lou.
It was lovely to chat.
Yes.
And I'm now going to find a doctor who'll give me Lou's posh rights.
Well, posh. Take a picture, this is what you mean.
Yeah. I've got drug envy. Bye.
Hi. I hope you enjoyed that. If you've got any questions or you want to comment on anything that was spoken about, or you've got something to say about it, please get in touch with me. I'm mumandmamapod on the socials, mumandmamapod@gmail.com. If you know of anyone who you think would be a good guest, then let me know. I'm always looking for people to talk to. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please share it. Sharing is caring. I hope you're good. I hope you have a good summer, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And I'll see you in a bit. Sorry, my daughter's just come downstairs. We're at summer holidays, isn't it, at the moment? So I'm in a house full of children. And she's just coming dancing.
Work.
You look good, Hannah. With green hair. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'll see you all later. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.